The LexisNexis Corporate and Securities Law Community Podcast. Presentations and interviews with leading attorneys and industry professionals. On this edition, Jordan Thomas of Labaton Shisharo LLP. On Wall Street, Fleet Street, and Main Street, corporate integrity at a crossroads. A survey of 500 financial services professionals across the United States and United Kingdom. The opinions expressed by guests interviewed on LexisNexis Legal Podcasts do not necessarily reflect those of Reed Elsevier Incorporated, LexisNexis, subsidiary companies, shareholders, employees, or customers, and should not be considered legal advice. I'm Steve Bursler of LexisNexis. With me is Jordan Thomas, a partner at Labaton Shisharo LLP, who chairs its whistleblower representation practice. Prior to joining Labaton Shisharo, Jordan spent more than 15 years in federal law enforcement as both a trial attorney at the Department of Justice and an assistant director in the Enforcement Division of the Securities and Exchange Commission. During his tenure at the SEC, Mr. Thomas played a leadership role in the development of the Commission's whistleblower program. He's also the principal architect and first national coordinator of the Commission's Cooperation Program, an initiative designed to facilitate and incentivize individuals and companies to self-report securities violations and participate in its investigations and related enforcement actions. Mr. Thomas is the editor of SECWhistleblowerAdvocate.com, a website dedicated to helping organizations establish a culture of integrity and courageous whistleblowers to report possible securities violations without regrets. Mr. Thomas, it's a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you for being with us on this LexisNexis Legal Podcast.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Wall Street, Fleet Street, and Main Street, corporate integrity at a crossroads. The results of this survey recently released. Why did the firm commission this U.S.-U.K. financial services industry survey?
Well, for more than 50 years, Labaton Shisharo has been on the forefront of corporate governance reform. Increasingly, with the long and seemingly endless series of scandals, we wanted to investigate the causes and extent of the problem. Accordingly, we anonymously surveyed 500 financial service professionals, equally split across the United States and the United Kingdom, working throughout the financial services industry. We asked them a wide variety of questions, everything from personal ethics to corporate culture to regulatory oversight.
And what were some of the key findings of this survey?
Overall, the results were troubling. It appears that the financial services industry has lost its way. According to the survey, 24% of respondents reported a belief that financial services professionals may need to engage in unethical or illegal conduct in order to be successful. 39% of respondents reported that their competitors are likely to have engaged in these practices. 26% of respondents indicated that they'd observed or had firsthand knowledge of wrongdoing in the workplace. Particularly troubling, 16% of respondents reported that they would commit a crime, insider trading, if they could get away with it.
That is interesting. Were there any of the findings that you would consider to be surprising in any way?
You know, certainly the extent of wrongdoing and the openness, the acceptance of wrongdoing was surprising. Some of the other surprises was that the U.S. and U.K. financial services professionals were relatively similar in their answers, with the U.K. Surprisingly being slightly worse than the U.S., which surprised me because I would have expected there would be more cowboys in the U.S. than in the U.K.
Were these results broken down according to gender? I mean, did you see any differences between men and women in the survey results?
You know, there were differences between the genders. And another kind of interesting thing was women in the U.S., female financial services professionals in the U.S. had similar views to female financial services professionals in the U.K., and the same was true for men. So that was interesting. There were certain areas where females tended to have a more favorable view of regulators, financial regulators and law enforcement authorities, both in the U.S. and U.K., than their male counterparts. Sadly, women also were more likely by a significant margin to believe that they would be retaliated against if they reported wrongdoing in the workplace than their male counterparts.
Why do you think this is happening? I mean, what are some of the barriers as far as reporting misconduct within financial services companies?
Well, there are several. Our survey suggested that one in five financial service professionals weren't sure of or had serious doubts about how their employer would handle a report of wrongdoing. In addition, in the U.S., as I mentioned, 22% of women believe that they'd be retaliated against in comparison to 12% of their male counterparts. Another thing that seems to be a barrier is the fact that 30% of respondents felt financial regulators and law enforcement authorities effectively detect, investigate, and prosecute. Despite these organizations' new leadership, record enforcement actions, and new investor protection reforms. So the lack of confidence in their employers and regulators appears to be significant barriers to reporting.
Were there positives in the result? I mean, were there things that you could look at and say, well, you know, this is a pretty positive outcome or result?
You know, there weren't many, but one very positive sign is that 94% of respondents indicated that they would report wrongdoing if they were allowed to report anonymously, have employment protections, and have the potential to receive a monetary award, which are all now possible because of the SEC whistleblower program. This willingness to report, coupled with the awareness of misconduct, which, as you recall, was 26%, suggests the enormous potential of the SEC whistleblower program and the ability for whistleblowers to improve the way that law enforcement and regulators are able to do their work.
So there are some signs of hope then.
I do believe there's signs of hope because of the willingness to come forward now in light of the SEC whistleblower program.
Is awareness or lack of awareness a possible factor in the hesitancy of people to come forward?
Well, it certainly is. There's an awareness of the whistleblower program. Only 44% of, actually I believe it's 49%, had an awareness of the SEC whistleblower program. And obviously, the more people who know about the program, the more likely they're going to report. So that is a factor.
Are there ways that organizations, responsible organizations, can establish a culture of integrity?
There are. You know, I've written on this last year for the New York Law Journal, and in my mind, there's 9 secrets to establishing and maintaining a culture of integrity. The first and most important is the sense of community. This may sound a little touchy-feely, but ethics is a natural outgrowth of a healthy work environment where employees have a sense of belonging and are concerned about the well-being of their colleagues, customers, and the organization as a whole. If an employee doesn't have this emotional connection, they are far more likely to engage in illegal or unethical conduct. The second thing is the organization needs a compelling ethical vision. Ethical organizations are driven by a common vision that is clear, understandable, and viable. Since all problems can't be anticipated by internal policies and procedures, this vision is best compass for employees to navigate the complex and ever-changing corporate world. 3, shared responsibility. There is no such thing as top-down ethics. An organization's ethical vision must apply and be important to everyone. 3, empowered employees. In order for employees to accept an organization's ethical vision, they must be entrusted to make decisions consistent with the company's code of ethics. If the culture within the organization is just follow the rules, don't exercise discretion, then people will follow the rules and ultimately at times attempt to circumvent them. Integrated values. Doing the right thing has to be embedded in an organization's DNA through a deep integration of what it says and does. A good example of where it fails is that in our survey we found that 30% of the people believe that their compensation and bonus plan essentially tempted them to engage in illegal or unethical conduct. That suggests that there's not a good integration of the ethical vision of the organization with its operational sort of plan. Another area is accountability and recognition. Organizations must strive to be fair and consistent regarding all ethical matters. Violators should be held accountable, and whistleblowers, whether they're internal or external, should be recognized and rewarded. Transparency is another thing that's often missing. If sunshine is the best disinfectant, in an organization, more transparency will generate more credibility and trust for the organization by employees. The most common weakness is too little communication. Even in organizations that do the right thing after a report comes to light, if their employees don't know it, their employees will assume that the organization is not doing the right thing, and it will undermine the culture of integrity within the organization. Another thing is ethics training. Like any other skill set, and an employee's ability to make ethical decisions is enhanced with ongoing training and support programs. And lastly, there needs to be a commitment to continuous improvement. Even great organizations must continue to seek ways to improve their ethical climate. These are all things that responsible organizations should strive for, and successful ethical organizations have.
Who would you recommend take a look at the results of this survey? Who would benefit the most from it?
I believe that this survey is important for regulators and financial regulators and law enforcement authorities, because it suggests that there's a significant problem that will require greater oversight. I believe the survey can be instructive for organizations so that they can recommit themselves to focusing on corporate ethics, because there appears to be some weak corporate ethics environments and values by some of the financial service professionals that were surveyed. And hopefully students will look at the survey and aspire to improve the situation when they enter the workforce.
And where can listeners find a copy of the survey and its results?
The survey is available at secwhistlebloweradvocate.com.
Mr. Thomas, I appreciate you coming on and talking about the results of this survey, as well as your thoughts on how organizations can establish a culture of integrity. Thank you very much for being with us on this LexisNexis Legal Podcast.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting me to come on.
Jordan Thomas of Labaton Shisharo. Thank you for listening to this LexisNexis Legal Podcast. Visit the LexisNexis communities, LexisNexis.com/community. Like the communities on Facebook. Follow them on Twitter. The LexisNexis Corporate and Securities Law Community Podcast, copyright 2012, by LexisNexis, a division of Reed Elsevier Incorporated. All rights reserved.